Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome, brothers and sisters, family and friends. Everyone, I would like to welcome you to another one of our shows, Theologically Speaking. I am your host, Jose Dorsey. I always like to start each and every one of my shows by thanking all of our supporters for tuning in and joining us during this live internet radio broadcasting. I also like to pause and give thanks to our executive producer, James Brown. Brother James Brown has been a very big influencer over us being able to come in and just deliver these messages and use this this platform so that we can just take another avenue of reaching out to people all across the world. So we don't take this opportunity to use this worldwide platform for granted. So listen, as we come together into the new year, I'm so thankful that everyone under the sound of my weak voice have been blessed to have victory over 2018, that we're able to press our way here in 2019 and go forward with prayerfully new visions and aspirations, dreams, and objectives. And I just pray that the Lord continue to increase your territory and just bless you exponentially. So with that being said, we dare not go any further without invoking the blessings of God himself. So as we go before the throne of grace, I want to ask that you clear your hearts and your minds and that you just touch and agree with me right where we are. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us. Lord, you've blessed us to see another year. You've blessed us to have victory over 2018 despite the tears that we cried, the hardships we faced, despite the many heartaches that we felt, situations that we endured. Lord, we recognize that you've been right there by our side. You allowed us to press our way into yet another year, another era, another opportunity, another experience. And as we persevere past this threshold into this new year, we look for new blessings from you. We trust you and believe you for what you are going to do. And we thank you, God, for what you've already done. And so as we're right here in this experience, we just continue to ask that you anoint us and appoint us, direct us and guide us. And we declare that it is so. In Jesus' name, we declare amen. So listen, family and friends out there, we just want to pause for a moment. Let's just talk about this 2018 thing. This 2018 thing was just so surreal for so many people. I was talking to so many different family and friends and looking out over social media, and it seemed like in a body we've had a really hard time over this last year. Both in ministries, we've seen a lot of heartache and disappointments. We've seen so many things knock on our door. I've seen so many people get knocked down on their backside and have to find a way to get back up again. But beloved, I just want to encourage you today with a word, because although 2018 might have been vicious, it wasn't victorious, not over you. See, you wasn't victimized, but yet you became a victor because God has called us more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And so that should give us a really big push of motivation that as we go forward knowing that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I told somebody before, resources might have ran low, but your appearance, your very presence here in 2019 is a testimony that your resources never ran out. So we're going to continue to bless the Lord and thank him for that. Now, there's somebody sitting at home wondering what's going to happen with their job, when the government is going to open back up, and, you know, how is that going to affect my income taxes, because we need those. How does this affect my life? You say, well, Trump is president, but Christ is still king. So as long as we have the gall, the unmitigated gall within us to press and save towards God, I believe that he has the blessings to actually endow us with. So as we go a little bit further, we just want to talk about something that's really going to really bless us at our church house. And one of the things that we've been talking about, we preached a sermon on Sunday dealing with the living my blessed life. And we came on a passage in Scripture, 2 Timothy 4:7, where essentially Paul said, look, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race and I've kept the faith. And we believe that one of the things that Paul was saying is that, you know, ultimately he looked back over his life. His life was coming to a point where it's about to come to its culminating point or its finish or the finish line. And he said, listen, I've done all of these things, but the one thought that we keyed in on is the fact that I think he was trying to say, look, I've lived a very blessed life. I stayed on the battlefield for the Lord. I maintained my faith. I stood on all the principles, and I was able to go forward, you know, with the same, if you will, tenacity that I started this ministry with. And so today we want to borrow from that thought process over at church. And let me just pause and say that, you know, I pastor a really intimate bunch, but it's so loving and family. We're located at 17609 Livernois. And it's a good family congregation. But one of the things that we are going to go into is we're going to borrow from that and make it a series. So we talked, the title of the sermon was, I'm Living My Blessed Life. See, we said that we can't say we're living our best life because we might see that the way the world sees it. And for some reason, it's been echoed in such a urban colloquialism that we think as long as we echo those words, that's our license to not practice having a moral compass. But the reality is, it shouldn't be your license to become promiscuous. It shouldn't be your license to become reckless or not be conscious of Christ. It should not be something that empower us to not be conscious of the fact that, you know, it's not all about just who we are, but we belong to an almighty God who loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. So it doesn't give us the right to forget those things. So one of the things that we're going to do is continue ministering from that platform. And so today, we're going to be talking about I'm living my blessed life. I'm living my blessed life. Should also be really the theme of 2019, that I'm living my blessed life. Last time in church, we talked about it from the perspective of 2 Timothy 4:7. But on today, we're going to talk about it briefly from the perspective of 2 Corinthians 5:17. And the Bible just reads this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. It said, the old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Or behold, the old has passed away. So, and all things have become new. So basically, when I looked over 2018, I recognized that there were so many different themes, anthems, so many different logos and slogans that were echoed throughout the year. One of the things that we talked about is, you know, Drake sang the song. He said, Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? You know, you say you never leave from beside me. I want you. I need you. But I'm recognizing that if I have to ask you how much you love me or how much you're going to be with me or how much you're riding with me, it doesn't matter how much I want you, need you, or even love you, it's obvious to me that it's not clear what your intentions are. It's not clear if you're on board with the vision. It's not clear whether or not we're actually agreeing and walking together or not. So the reality is there are some people in your 2018 that had to die out of your life so your 2019 would be different. I'm going to talk to somebody in a minute because there are some things that you had to fight through in 2018. Somebody's walking around wrestling with, why did I lose so many friends along the way? How come it is that family members did me so bold? Or why it is that, you know, I lost that job or I didn't get what I thought I was supposed to receive in 2000? Why was 18 seem to be like it was so filled with so many different hardships? I want to tell you today that some of the biggest blessings have come behind some of the biggest sacrifices. We have to allow things to die inside of us so that other things can live. You allow that old mentality to die, that old way of doing things, that old perspectives to die so that your paradigm can be ultimately shifted. That's the reason why when we die to the world but we live through Christ, that's the reason why when we're baptized by the fire of the Holy Spirit, we're still baptized in water because it's an outward show of an inward change. I'm showing that there's something inside of me that once was, have died, and now there's a newness that have been reborn in me. See, I've been dead to this world, I'm dead to sin now, but yet I rise and I'm alive in Christ because of his resurrection. See, because of the power of the resurrection in the Christ, now I live in something called newness of life. The Bible says that God or Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That abundant life happens in various ways. One is, it happens because the Bible says that God sends us, Jesus sent us another comforter. So you don't have to be alone. He comes and he comes and seals you. He guides you into all truth and he brings you into all understanding. He corrects you. He does so many things. He teaches us all truth so that we don't have to be alone. So here it is. Christ did these things because ultimately there's something new that has happened inside of us. And so if we want to have a different 2019, the reality is there are certain things that you have to step away from in your 2018. You can't walk into 2019 and live the same life that you used to live or have the same ideology that you used to have and think that there's going to be so much of a powerful change in your life. In order to live your blessed life, there's just some things and some people that have to just die out of your life. There's some toxic relationships that had to die back in 2018. You might be upset that somebody is not walking with you or agreeing with you or somebody is not in your life right now. But the reality is you ought to be thanking God because there's just some toxic situations that we had to release. It's like if we continue to drink poison knowing that it's killing us, then how is it that we don't expect to die? And how is it that we expect to do things continually over and over again and not expect that we are insane? I think that's the very definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting a different result. So here it is. If you keep the same friends, if you keep the same situations going, if you keep up the same mess, you plant the same seeds, how can you expect to get a different harvest? How can you expect not to have mess in your life when the birds that you're flocking with are messy? How is it that you can expect for your whole living situation to change and you don't clean up different than you used to clean up, amen? You don't go shopping or you haven't changed your health standards or anything like that. How can you expect to lose weight if you eat the same way and you don't go to the gym? Come here, New Year's resolution. So many people have made the New Year resolution. I'm sorry, the New Year's lie that we tell each other every single year or tell ourselves. Oh, yeah, I'm going to lose 15 pounds this time. Amen. I'm gonna get down to that dress that I always wanted to wear. We lie to ourselves because somewhere along the line we just lack the authority. Statistically, most of us are gonna give up every single New Year's resolution that we had. Watch how memberships are increased. Watch how busy it gets when you go to the gym, only to turn around maybe a month later and see how empty they are. Imagine how many people are going to abort those wonderful resolutions that they made on New Year's or at the beginning of the year, only to turn around to have those good ideas go to waste. Why do we have to wait for a new year in order for us to make a resolution towards improving ourselves in the first place? Living my blessed life this year is going to look like I got to understand which direction I need to go in. I need to look at myself and determine whether or not I'm living God's purpose for my life. Am I actually walking in his blessings? Is my life actually telling a story that I've been transformed and have a newness of life because of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Some of us might go out and buy bumper stickers and say, what would Jesus do? Some of us might actually go on our Facebook page and say, hey, I went to watch night service and I'm going to church now, and because that's the thing that looks good. It looks a certain way to people, but know that God knows you inwardly. He knows every lie that you told probably before you even utter it from your lips. Let me give you evidence of how much Jesus knows you before you know yourself. He said, look, these people, they draw close to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The Bible also says that God knows us intimately and inwardly. And so if he knows you intimately and inwardly, then who are you lying to? Who are you fooling? I heard MC Bree say, ain't no future in your front. What that means is you really need to stop fooling yourself. Kind of remind me of Galatians when the Bible says that, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You will not make a fool out of God because of the things that you chose to do. So if we just continue to live our lives the way we did in 2018, keep the same associations as we did in 2018, then your 2019 is not going to be different. You won't be living your blessed life. You'll still be living the life that you lived before. Nothing has changed. There's been no newness. There's been nothing to essentially actually accentuate your life or cause you to actually walk in some new blessings. Why? Because the old things have not passed away. So as I'm looking into this passage of Scripture, as we examine the passage or pericope, one of the things that we actually see and understand is that Paul is actually, he's making, he's drawing, if you will, a picture of what it is to walk in the flesh and what it is to walk according to the Spirit. He even begins by talking about the house that we're housed in the flesh is not made, it's tangible and yet it dies away. But praise be to God that we have another house in the spiritual, and it's not even made with hands, but it's made essentially by God. So he's actually drawing a parallel, or if you will, a comparison between what is spiritual and what is physical. And as we like drop all the way down to our text that we're discussing today, I just really want to back up to 14 before I get all the way down to 17. It said, for the love of Christ controls us. But we have concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all have died. What that simply means is because Jesus, he died, you know, in the world essentially so that he might be raised from the grave, we also died with Christ. See, we were supposed to be the Christ on the cross. Let me take that back. We were supposed to be receive the penalty of the cross, receive the penalty of death. But I like to tell people that Jesus was treated like he did everything wrong so that we could be treated like we did everything right. Living our blessed life is going to require that we actually understand this, because as we understand how we are to live and where we live in and how we live in and who and what we should live for, it gives us perspective and it gives us a perspective. It gives us also purpose and understanding. So know this, that Jesus died so that he can pay a price for you. Many atheists and secular humanists and many Scientologists, they fail to process this information or receive it just the way it is. But the reality is, from primordial parenthood, sin came into the world, Adam and Eve, that is. And so because through the very first parents, sin come into the world, sin touched blood, Jesus could not be born of the blood of man or even the working of the flesh. The book of John declares this. But he came into the world as a sacrifice without spot, without blemish, committed no sin simply so that he could save us. And so because he died, then the Bible concludes that we all die and that we die in him. And we also do our baptism to show that we've also been raised with him. The Bible further backs this up with the connotation of this. You know, if we suffer with Christ, then we'll also rule or reign with Christ. Verse 15 says, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves. Now watch this. So here it is. We ask, why do Christians allow themselves to be governed by this very strict moral code, universal, and it's very strict. It's because you don't understand, like, life as we see it in its very finite stage, or from the point perspective of humanity, is very limited when you look at it in the perspective of infinity. And so because God holds the key to my everything, to my infinity and beyond, then I have to no longer live for myself because Christ died for me. Now I live for him because he purchased me with his blood. It says, and he died for all, that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Now hold on for a second. That's really powerful for us to see. In order for you to live your blessed life, you must be able to see Christ also in your life, because it'll change how you think. It'll change how you ultimately behave yourself. Because now if you begin to live for Christ because Christ died for you, then you recognize something very powerful. I've been purchased, and not so that God could just say he owns me, not so that it can just be an opportune for myself, and not just so that it doesn't benefit me at all, but truly it's solely for your benefit. And it's one of the points where we have to actually evangelize and tell people about, to get them to understand themselves so that they can be able to transition from living their best life, as a colloquial expression of it all, to living their blessed life from a spiritual perspective. Watch this. So here it is. It says that for him who for their sake died and was raised. So you look at that and you have to examine it and understand this. Jesus did all of this. Came down from 42 generations out of the comforts of heaven, dwelt among us, and died for our sake. Notice, Jesus was without sin. He knew no sin. That's the reason why he was a perfect sacrifice. A sacrifice, an offering, it has to be without spot or blemish. That means it has to be perfect in order for it to be the perfect atonement or the replacement for our sins, right? So Jesus was that. So out of everything that Jesus did, he didn't do it for himself. Living your blessed life is going to require for us to look at our theology and examine it according to how the Bible tells us that he died specifically for me so that I might live. Verse 16, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. What does that mean? It's not all about what things are in a very tangible, physical life, in this life form, but the reality is we have to think about more than just the physical, but also the spiritual as well. We once regarded Christ because Christ, he stepped out of heaven and he lived and dwelt among us in the physical, but now he has been raised. When he died, he was only in a tomb for just a couple short days. 3 days, the Bible teaches us that he rose on the third day with all power in his hand, and that's why I say we regard him thus no longer. So 17, which is actually coming to the focus of our message on today, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Now, I was preaching this before, and I heard one of the pastors, he kind of followed up behind me. I said that the Bible is not referencing everybody. It's speaking to everyone that would hear. The Bible says, he that has an ear, let him hear. It's actually, the world is its audience, but the benefactors are only going to be those that believe and receive. So here it is, while it's speaking to anyone that would listen, is not benefiting everyone, but these specific people. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Hold on. We get into this Carlton Sheets doctrine of inclusion. I really don't even have time to deal with that thing. Well, we think, well, Jesus died on the cross. He paid it all, and we truly don't have to go to church, and we don't really have to believe, but everybody is saved. We need to slap ourselves because the Bible says that through one sin entered the world, and through one we'll all be saved or redeemed. Ultimately, the Bible says that For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed, watch this, whosoever believed. That's a condition. If is a conditional statement, it's a conditional word that means that you have options. And in this case, you either can do it or you won't do it, but ultimately, if you don't, you don't receive. If you do, you receive. Bible also says, for as many as believed him, gave he power to become sons of God. So we definitely know that to receive Christ, there must be a ownership part to which we believe. Believing is the prerequisite for receiving. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Essentially, what has happened is you've been transformed. There's been a newness in your life. And in order for us to live our blessed life, we must get to the point where we walk in this newness of life, walk in being this new creation. Now, hold on. Wait a minute. So let me see. If I was to take, let's just say, some clay, hey, man, I take it and I take it from scratch and I mold it into something. No, I want to back that up. I'll use steel. I take some steel, some iron ore, and I fashion it into, let's just say, an instrument. That instrument, amen, it's repurposed. So I take it, I'm molding it back down, amen, liquefy it, and I bring it back into another image. This ought to really look like what our newness should be. You've been totally transformed. You don't look like what you used to look like anymore. That's the reason why the Bible says right here, it says the old has passed away. Now, I beat my gums for all of this time just to get to this point that if we want to live our blessed lives in 2019, something old got to pass away. Something old got to pass away. I know you don't feel like getting out there. I know you don't feel like going to work and doing your best work possible because you think they don't even deserve you like that. I know you got a boss that's an idiot. And you know more than he do, and you could probably run the place much better. I know sometimes you don't feel like cleaning up. I know sometimes you don't feel like pressing your way to church. I know some Negroes got on your nerves last year, but the reality is you have to operate in newness, which means that, you know what, have a little bit of grace for those who might be a little more on the ignorant side or might be on the side of what you have to exercise a little grace for. I know you need to go and press your way into the household of faith so that God can minister, allow a word to be ministered to you so that you can walk in newness. I'm telling you, you've got to be able to live your blessed life by allowing some old things to pass away, some old thoughts, some old ideologies, some old ways of operating needs to pass away, some old cliques, some old posses. 2018 is gone, so that means that 2019 represent, right, watch this right here. It said, behold, the new has come. 2019 is your new opportunity, your new time to stand on your principles, your new time to pursue after your goals, your aspirations, your dreams, your ambitions, your objectives. 2019 is your year to let the old pass away. But behold, the new has come. My friend, will you join with me this year in living our blessed life? May God keep you and God bless you. Thank you for joining us with another Theologically Speaking with Jose.
Come on, KD.
Hallelujah. It's an old song. It's an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Yes, sir. Pray, pray for me.
Come on.
We of y'all know that song?